Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by Ed Carbajal. Ed, happy post-Christmas, pre-New Year's. How's it going, brother?
All right, you know, we're in that weird haze of between Christmas and New Year's, so it's like a weird time. Everybody's complaining about no UFC, but, you know, it's nice to have a little break from all the stuff going on. And of course, you know, New Year's Eve, if you've been following this sport as long as we have, you know that New Year's Eve means Japanese MMA's finest evening with their New Year's Eve event for in Ryzen 45 this weekend. So for me, that's what's going on for combat sports. And I'm looking forward to it, man. It's like, it's a long time tradition and, even though I'm never really up to watch it, but I do like to watch it on New Year's Day, you know, catch the highlights or the day after because they're ahead of us and catch the highlights and stuff. I did stay up for it last year because I did the results for my MMA news last year, or the beginning of this year. So it's a weird time. I mean, it's going into 2024. It's a weird vibe going into the new year for especially in the combat sports scene. But I mean, as long as we keep on trucking here, I'm still having fun with it.
Yep. It's you know, Japanese New Year's is like you said, tradition. You know, which is good. When you got some things that exited this year, you know, we going through the kind of the year highlights thing. One of the unfortunate things was Bellator. I did get a chance to see him a bunch of times this year, you know, looking back at their calendar year, it was kind of weird to see that they really were West Coast based. Hawaii, California had three events, actually four events in California. One time out in Chicago, you know, they had a North Dakota and such, but in Japan, but it really wasn't their normal schedule. Yeah. It was watered down and, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, 300 was a bit of a letdown. 301 was a great event. You know, I guess probably, you know, 300 or you know, 2023 will go down for the end of Bellator and the retirement of Fedor Emelianenko. I think those will be probably the highlights coming out of that organization, or at least the newsworthy items.
Yeah, I would lean more towards newsworthy items. I don't know about highlights, but, you know, they're in a weird spot. I don't know how deep Bellator is, the PFL. It's letting the Bellator fighters know where they stand and what they have to look forward to. You know, there's guys that what choice do they have? They chose this life to be pro fighters, so they're doing what they do to stay ready and stay, you know, at the level that they're at so they can compete in 2024. Not all of them seem to know what's going on. I know Chris Cyborg was pretty public about how some fighters were at the Thanksgiving, the Black Friday event in D.C., And she was like, you know, nobody reached out to me about going, so I didn't go. And this just seems to be the PFL way of doing things. Like, I mean, just doing random things with. I mean, they do it with media. I'm not surprised that that's how the entry was with everything going on. But you know, the transitional phase. I'm hoping that because they did bring on some folks from the Bellator side. I'm hoping in 2024 that all changes, like or improves. I know we're not going to see Bellator. I mean, from what we're seeing anyway, we're not going to see any stateside Bellator events. It looks like PFL is going to use their European connections and like Dublin, all those places that they've been to kind of like Paris and kind of use the Bellator brand to hold events there and the connections that they have there. But I would like to see whatever the champion versus champion event is. I would like to see that is probably going to be the highlight of that's going to be a taste of what, you know, maybe 10 more years from now we can see in the future with all promotions, you know, the champions fighting the true champions. So we see, you know, who truly is the best fighter in combat sports. So I don't know. I have high hopes. I have no choice but to have high hopes.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to look at it. we'll see what happens. You know, it would be nice to see something announced. I know they were talking the Champions versus Champions event in February. Mm-hmm. All that far away right now. So it would be nice if we at least got a date and with other stuff lined up. But
yeah, again, the timing would be nice. I mean, maybe that first week, next week, we'll get some news. I'm hoping. I know we're going to talk about it at this Ryzen 45 event on New Year's Eve. Like, you know, there's a couple of well-known belt. You know, obviously the names from Bellator fighting on the card. Some other names that fans might know fighting on the card. I'm hoping there's a presence there. Like maybe even Scott Coker will be there, kind of, you know, because he's kind of just rode off into the sunset with this whole deal. And I feel like he didn't get enough credit for his vision of all the things he tried to do. There's something I want to, before the year ends, I do want to write something about him over at My MMA News, just to kind of like give him a Black Belt Magazine did it. And they posted Chris Cyborg shared the post, but I kind of want to piggyback on that because I mean I do know he does have a love for martial arts. That's what the events in Hawaii, the collaborations he did with Sakakibara in Japan, and his openness to want to do stuff with other folks. It's just, you know, everybody wants to pat themselves on the back and say it's my thing, and you know, with these big media companies involved, especially the whole Paramount deal and how they just shit it all over everything. I feel like he doesn't get the respect. I mean, if you give Scott Coker a bag of money, like a bottomless bag of money, I think he does a lot of fun shit with a promotion, you know? That's just my opinion. I hope whatever he does next, if he's still involved in combat sport, we get to see it, because I just think his mind was a little bit too far ahead with where the sport is, you know, like it's just weird to me how there's things that like the champion versus champion thing the PFL is doing. It's something he was open to. It's just now they have their name on it. Don Davis did put out a poll for like Kayla Harrison and who she should fight next, because he pointed out that now with the acquisition, they have all the top 145 women in combat sports, which I tend to agree with, you know. So he's putting Kayla Harrison as the bullseye, but I feel like he's got something there that he could really dip into. And he put out the poll. Obviously, Chris Cyborg is the one that folks want to see Kayla Harrison face, but it looks like they're working on stuff behind the scenes. If anyone's talking about it outside, you know. Yeah, I would say follow Don Davis's Twitter account, because he seems to be promoting the future more than anybody else, including the PFL social channels.
Speaking of the future, you know, a couple other things that came out this year. I would say that, you know, the rise of Karate Combat just a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. something we got to look forward to, something new and fresh and that. And I think BKFC really put himself on the map. I think Mike Perry established himself as a legitimate combat sports star this year. Two big wins over Rockhold and Eddie Alvarez, two big events that took over the social media world, and a handful of highlights throughout the year from the organization. So I'd have to say it was pretty much an A-plus year, at least, you know, I don't know financially, but from a fan's perspective and somebody just watching an organization seemed to grow in front of us, I'd have to say it was pretty much an A year for BKFC.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. That's a fair assessment. I mean, I think that's, again, I think that's another thing to watch. Like the UFC's, they're going to have some trouble in April too. You know, their antitrust lawsuit the first week of April. I would look for them to change their tune as far as being so front runner, and I mean, don't be surprised if they seem a little more friendlier and open, or at least Dana White in some press conferences. Like, he was asked about the whole Bellator acquisition thing at the last pay per view, if he thought it was bad for the sport. He agreed that it was bad. I don't know if the antitrust lawsuit was the motivation behind that answer, or that was his honest answer. I would like to hope that was his honest answer, because, you know, it's just fucked up. You know, competition is good for business. If you've taken any business course or anything, you know that. Being the only guy out there, it's good to be the only person with a product, but you know, competition makes everyone better. That's the whole point of competition in general. These guys fighting each other, they want to see who's the best one out there. But as far as combat sports and just everything being the same, I think you're right, man. BKFC, they can't let Mike Perry carry all the cards, though. They got to, like, start featuring other fighters, you know?
Well, I think we'll see that. It's nice to see Palomino's already got a bout scheduled mm-hmm. with Austin Trout coming up in February. I see they've already got two of their, like, contender series, you know, their prospect series events scheduled for the upcoming year. So I think that they got some other guys that they can build some names off of. They kind of showcase some of the heavyweights towards the end of the year. So be interesting to see where it goes. But, you know, I mean, as far as putting people in seats at arenas and stuff, you know, there's not a lot of promotions that are super successful at that and are able mm-hmm. to do that. I mean, we had one earlier this year be successful in the United States. Hopefully that can continue. I'm a little bit nervous that nothing's come of that. You know, it kind of gives me the Pride vibe, you know, where like you come into a couple events and then, you know, was that like a last ditch effort just to try to survive? And you know, yeah. You never know anymore. So, but yeah, BKFC, Karate Combat were the highlights of the year. You know, UFC had a bunch of highlights too. Mainly some retirements. I mean, I say highlights, but you know, this year we get, you know, Glover, Teixeira, Shogun Hua, just to name a few of the big names that walked away this year. I know I'm forgetting a ton of other ones. You know, you had the upset, Sean Strickland upset of Israel Adesanya. Mm-hmm. You had the Volkanovski Makhachev one great bout early in the year. And then in the rematch later in the year, obviously Makhachev, you know, handled business early on. You know, for you and me and just Bleed fans, we had Justin Gaethje put his shin upside the head of Dustin Poirier. You know, we had the return of Jon Jones and then the exit of Jon Jones all in a matter of seconds. Yeah. You know, and then McGregor, who, you know, is he just doing a bunch of crack and talking out of his ass, or is the UFC holding him back, or is he testing positive for USADA, or is he not getting tested at all, or is USADA even around? I mean, who the hell knows anymore?
He just posted some photos of him being tested over the weekend. So, like he was at something and he had to give up some blood. So, I guess he's being tested by whom? Who knows? Or I mean, I don't know who. That could have been AI for all I know, but you know, but I mean, like you said, who knows where he's at? I know Michael Chandler was saying that now he's thinking that McGregor's trying to get out of it and look for an easier fight. I'm just like, dude, like, I mean, you know, UFC 300 is around the corner. You got to put Conor McGregor on something if you really want to, like, you know. Yeah, Chandler McGregor needs to be on that card if they really want to blow it out of the water, like on the main card. I don't know about the main event, but you know, they probably want to. I don't know how Jon Jones, we haven't seen, like you said, the post surgery pictures or anything, but like, you know, 300 is supposed to be super loaded. And I know Dana White announced some of the like beginning of that card. I don't know, like what fights. I'm hearing a lot of Gaethje Makhachev talk. Like, I don't know. That'd be a nice fight for 300. But what fights are you? What fights would you want to see?
The fights that have been announced so far, I'm not interested that about. You know, the Prochazka and Rakic. Mm-hmm. Was it Sterling and Cater? I mean, honestly, like, I know there's some names, but not fights I'm interested in. It seems like it's reach fights. I'm hearing mm-hmm. Aspinall versus Paella at heavyweight. Another fight that doesn't really, I mean, sure, it's fun, but it's a gimmick fight. I'm going to stick to my guns and say, we never see McGregor Chandler. I think Chandler fell for the machine, the hype. Mm-hmm. I think he got, I'm going to say he got a little greedy. He was hot. And instead of having fights for the last year, he stood around waiting for McGregor. And McGregor, I think, is going to leave him at the altar when it's all said and done. I think we're going to end up seeing McGregor Nate Diaz 3. I think that's going to be the gimmick fight that they put on it. Mm. I think that's what we're going to get. I it makes the most sense, you know, because if you have to have a gimmick fight to sell UFC 300, and the fact that they haven't really developed a whole lot of stars over the last 8-9 years. If we have to go back, if we have to go back to that fight to headline that, then, you know, I think it's a little bit, but I think that's something we might see. I don't think Chandler's going to fight McGregor. I think McGregor will fight Gaethje before he fights Chandler. I think there's bigger names and bigger fights. I think the UFC will give him whatever he wants. Once he comes back, I think it'll be, hey, you're fighting this night. Who do you want to fight? And he gets to name whoever the heck he wants to fight. I think that's how it's going to work.
I know Dana White, like literally as we started recording, Dana White just went live on IG. So maybe he's announcing something that'll change our viewpoint or what have you. But I mean, we'll find out in a few minutes, I guess. But yeah, man, I'm trying to think. I mean, I think the UFC peaked, like the way the WWE peaked for me back in the day. You know what I mean? Like we're at that point where the Attitude Era is ending, and now it's whatever the hell it is now, and that's what's happening with the UFC. And I'm just more interested in the sport as a whole and things that are going on outside of it, like outside of like Justin Gaethje. For me personally, anyway, everybody knows I'm a big fan of Justin Gaethje, Brandon Moreno. Trying to think who else makes me like want to tune in. There's not that many names like there used to be that I really want to tune in for UFC 300. And this is the downside. I think James Lynch did a whole podcast or on it himself, where he just talked about the downside of holding too many events. Like you're spread all so far all over the place that when you do an event, that's supposed to be the one that grabs everybody, it's not grabbing everybody. Like I agree with you, man. The fights that are announced, I it's hard for me to get excited. Like, I'm just like, okay, you know, like when I hear about
that. Yeah, for 300, I'm not impressed. I do like and I'm lucky enough, I'm going to be attending 298 in Anaheim out here. I do like the card that's shaping up for there. I like Costa Whitaker. That's kind of a fun, you know, and to me, Costa's kind of like a pride style fighter. And maybe that's because he looks like a roided freak, you know, or however you want to say it. But he kind of gives that vibe to me, like he could have fit well in Pride, you know, fighting the guys over there at that era, you know. So him, Whitaker's fight, I like Dashvili Cejudo. I think that's a good undercard fight. You know, it's not, you know, but for 300, nothing's really gotten me that interested. And I don't know, honestly, McGregor and those guys aren't the ones who would make me interested. I don't know what fight it would be at this point, because they, like I said, they haven't created any. There's no real mega fight out there right now that people are yearning for. You know, I feel like, and I feel like people, you know, you see the fans talking about how they're going to do, oh, the card's going to be this, that, and this. You know, you look back and, you know, UFC 200, they were good cards, but they weren't, you know, they weren't all just mega. It wasn't like it was mega stacked with just, you know, meaningful fights from top to bottom. You know, it was a lot of, you know, good fights, but just names, just kind of names, kind of just thrown on there to have names. Fight that, you know, like Lozon versus like Gomi, didn't really do anything for anybody, you know. You know, I obviously Musashi, you know, came out of that with a big win over Thiago Santos that night and stuff at 200. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But
yeah,
you know,
what about like up and coming fighters? Like, who are you looking to see make a bigger name for themselves in 2024, like young fighters? Like
Blanchfield's interesting. I know she's going to be in Atlantic City out there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm for Bellator and stuff and those, that era, I'm still interested in seeing what happens with Pico. He's Aaron Pico's a guy that I'm kind of curious to see where he ends up out of this.
I know he said something along the lines, he hasn't heard anything yet, and if he doesn't, he's gonna just try to do because he's got dual citizenship. He's gonna try to get on the Olympic team for Mexico if Bellator doesn't, you know, or if nothing, no fights flourish for him. And I don't blame him.
You know, Topuria and stuff like that. If he's able to see what does to Volk, I mean, this fight for Volkanovski coming up in February is a big fight. It's kind of a legacy fight in a sense. He's lost two in a row. I know he's lost two in a row out of his weight class, but. You lose this fight, sure, most people are going to say he deserves an automatic rematch at featherweight, but then you're promoting a guy for a title fight who's on a 3-fight losing streak, no matter how you cut it. You know what I mean? And if you lose again to Topuria, then you go, you're on a 4-fight losing streak. And to me, it can be, you can go from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the, you know, the bottom of the ditch real quick. If Topuria happens to be one of those guys who have your number, I don't know if that's how the fight's going to turn out, but, I am interested to kind of see how that goes. And, I think the O'Malley train will come to a grinding halt sooner than later. I think he'll probably get by Vera. But I think that he'll fight a wrestler who will grind him to death, Dashvili, you know, whether it's Cejudo, whether it's Sterling in a rematch. I think there could be some more smarter tactics used, and perhaps a boring win, but somebody just, you know, rips the title out of his hands in kind of a grinding, you know, fashion through wrestling, you know, because I think that's the way to do it. Because we've talked about it, you know, since day one. Mm-hmm. You know, O'Malley's a special talent, especially on the feet. He's got some good submissions, but on the feet, he's not somebody to mess with. He's kind of got that Anderson Silva like striking where it can just be a straight laser beam that hits you in the chin and puts you out, and he's done it multiple times. So, you know, there's some storylines, but I don't know if there's any like mega superstar storylines being created right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's that's what's kind of making it hard sells for folks that have been following the sport for a long time. You know, the people that are sucked in and just UFC zombies, they get excited for any bone that's thrown at them. I'm wondering, like, I know they said they're going to come to New York twice this year. I'm wondering how true that is outside of the November time. You know, with March, them being on the East Coast, I wouldn't be surprised. I heard April might be one of the days that they do something, but I don't think they'd be, because UFC 300 would be in April, right? If is that right?
Yeah, April's you have 13th is 300. I wonder if they're going to count the Atlantic City thing as going to New York twice. You know, is that what they're going to is that what they're going to end up saying? You know, we came out the same region, same area, but I don't know, but anyways, you mentioned Ryzen earlier this episode, and it's New Year's Eve, and I don't know if we're going to get any sumo wearing Takata hitting drums and gongs over the weekend, but we should though. That's what we've learned to expect with Japanese MMA. I am a little disappointed that we don't get any of the freak show fights. I know that Ryzen is really aimed at trying to be a more of a, you know, straight edge real fight organization.
Yeah.
But I always feel like on New Year's Eve we should see some anime characters or pro wrestlers.
Well, you never know. Like I said, we'll see when we get there. Let me bring up the card since we're talking about it. There you go. I mean, again, I mentioned Horiguchi and Juan Archuleta. They're the main event. Those are the title fights on the card. There's a lot of names on this card that I just literally watched John Dodson's last year's or was it last year or – Yeah, last year's event where he knocked the guy out quick, fast, just before we started recording. And he's fighting again against Hiromosa Ogokubo. Just trying to see if there's any other names that jump out at me, because it seems like a long night. But, I mean, like when they did the thing with Showtime, they only showed the Bellator Ryzen portion, but it was a card. It was almost a 20-fight card. Was a 17 on this one. Just like this one, the Clever Koki versus Yutaka. So that main card is actually really good. I'm trying to see if there's any other names that...
Izawa against Yamamoto. That's a great female bout. Like you said, Ogokubo, Dotson, Yuki Montoya is a name who's been in a bunch of Ryzen events, and then like you said, Kaoki and Seato and Asakura Archuleta is Shinryo and Horiguchi are obviously the two big fights and the two most meaningful fights, two title fights.
Going to lean on the red corners is all me. That's who I'm picking. I mean, I got Archuleta and Horiguchi winning, but you know, it gets so crazy in Japan on New Year's Eve. You never know.
Yeah, I'm going to go with those two guys too. I mean, Archuleta, we've said it a million times, you know, he was, you know, we didn't know exactly. I think, first of all, I mean, a genius move on his part. Talk about knowing, reading the room and jumping ship out of Bellator and going over to Horizon at a perfect time. You know, he's keeping busy while other people don't know what they're doing. He's getting fights and now, you know, he's getting title fights and he's the defending champion now. And he gets to fight on New Year's Eve against a, you know, street fighting warrior from Japan who's got a win over Horiguchi and just, I mean, just a really good fight. I mean, Archuleta, he's got a win over Patchy Mix. I think that's all you really need to know about the guy. You know, three of his four losses are to the, you know, to Stotts and Pettis and Pitbull. Other than a loss early in his career. So he's only lost to the best of the best, and he's got wins over the other best in the division. So I'm wondering if Archuleta, I mean, really made the, you know, we talk about, you know, making power moves and stuff, and it seems like he made a great decision here.
Yeah.
Going to Japan, getting a chance to live the dream, go fight in a foreign country, a country that he seems to really acclimate well to and enjoy the atmosphere that it provides. And if you're kind of a kooky person, it seems like Japanese is a great place, you know, to kind of to go and have a great time, and kind of the reasons I want to go check it out. You know, there's a lot of silly stuff out there that looks like it'd be fun to check out and just be around.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like watching a live action, like, you know, Baki the Grappler anime type street fighter, you know, like the whole situation, every Pride event, all these Rising events, especially on New Year's Eve. And I don't know if it's so much a case of Archuleta reading the room and seeing that Joseph Correa from Proof Media that said, yo, what's up, happy holidays, Joseph. Whatchamacallit, yeah, I don't know if it was a case of him reading the room as much as he, because when he was there this time last year, one of the things he was super, super, like, at the press conferences and everything that I had the opportunity to be a part of virtually, you know, through Zoom or whatever, he was super, super adamant about just how he fell in love with how much they love combat sports and MMA out there. That's why he's out there, like this was something he just, like, saw himself doing. When everyone left, he stayed longer, you know. He probably just made some more connections. It looks like him and Sakaki Barra probably got along really well, because I mean, Sakaki Barra just seems like the type of dude that, you know, he'll try anything if he thinks it'll bring more fandom and everything. And that's what I'm saying, like, guys like Sakaki Barra and Coker that just love the sport, they'll listen to fans and try stuff, you know, if their hands aren't tied. And I feel like that's the case right now with Ryzen. You know, I mean, I hate to say it, you know, they're still here, and Bellator got acquired, but that's not Coker or anyone's fault, but that's Paramount's fault. But we talked about that a bunch. Correa said that Archuleta stayed for the Japanese women. I mean, you know, who knows? Who knows why he stayed, but he definitely loves it out there. And man, I hope he wins, and I hope he kind of opens the door for more fights, like, because I know Cyborg said she wanted to go out there too and have a fight out there. I don't know about names from the Ryzen roster that would draw. I mean, over there, yeah, anything with her and on the card against anybody would probably draw, but you know, we'll see what happens. Yeah, Joseph's bringing up a really good point. Paramount destroyed Showtime Boxing too. Yeah, they destroyed pretty much their whole. I mean, they had Showtime Sports for what? Like, what was the point of them? You know, I hinted at it. I think it was last week or the week before where I referenced there's a book called The Psychopath Test by Ron Johnson or John Ronson. I always mess up his name, but and he talks to this guy Al Dunlap. They called him Chainsaw Al. He ran Sunbeam Foods. And whoever's making the decision at Paramount seems to be following the Dunlap playbook, where they just sell shit off, keep the money, and then like now I think they're trying to merge with Max or HBO or something, and do, you know, they're trying to merge with somebody, or Warner, I forget who they're trying to merge with, but they literally want to spend no money on doing anything fun. They just want to sit back and collect money, and I get that, but you know, it's a real closed-minded way of looking at, you know, how other people are losing their jobs. You know, like we just talked about all the fighters at the beginning of the podcast, like you're not thinking about anybody at the bottom line. And I know business folks are going to be like, yeah, that's what business is about. But I mean, I don't know. It just seems fucked up, especially when it comes to the world of sports.
Yep. It's cutthroat. And, you know, that's why we're happy when people pop up though. We've mentioned that. So, you know, this is 10 o'clock my time, 1 p.m. your time, your Sunday. Well, what day is this fall on now? What day is New Year's?
Well, they have 12/31 on this thing from the press release. I can't really zoom into it, but it's 12/31 over there. So that means, I mean, they're like, it's usually the morning of, so it'll be Saturday night, right?
Saturday night for us. Yeah. Saturday night for us. So 1 in the morning, technically Sunday morning for you. 1, you know, 12/31-ish, and then 9:30, 10 o'clock my time. So I think that's going to wrap us up for 2023. We look forward to 2024. Fans can check out the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMA Hawk 21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Edit Carbazol on Twitter, Carbeersol on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. It's been a fun year, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for everybody that's new, subscribers, and people that support the show. And
have a safe New Year's Eve, everybody. And if you watch it, we'll be talking about it in 2024. But, you know, hopefully everyone had a safe holiday, and we'll see you next year.
Thanks. Good night, everyone.